guy in charge at the Pentagon. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News.
It's an honor to serve on behalf of the president, serve on behalf of the country.
Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth showing up for his first day.
There's an emergency at the southern border. That the protection of the sovereign territory of the United States is the job of the Defense Department.
Saying they've sent troops and will support mass deportations of illegal immigrants. More than 1,500 were arrested or detained yesterday. And Secretary Hegseth also just said there are new Trump executive orders coming today.
We fully support on removing DEI inside the Pentagon, reinstating troops who were pushed out because of COVID mandates.
And here are more details on what that order does from Fox's Madeline Rivera.
Reinstate all members of the military who were discharged for rejecting the COVID vaccine, and they will receive full pay and benefits. 8,400 service members were discharged for not getting the COVID vaccine. In January 2023, former Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin rescinded the mandate.
We're learning more about the 33 hostages Hamas will release in phase one of the ceasefire. Israel says 8 of them are dead. This is tens of thousands of Palestinians displaced by war in northern Gaza are returning to the area today, though there's a lot of destruction. President Trump's push to resettle those refugees in neighboring countries getting pushed back.
President Trump says he'd like to see Jordan and Egypt accept Palestinians displaced by the war in Gaza, telling reporters aboard Air Force One.
You're talking about probably 1.5 million people, and we just clean out that whole thing.
Jordan's foreign minister says the country's opposition to resettling Gazans is firm and unwavering. A similar statement was issued by Egypt's government. Both countries worry Israel would not allow the refugees to return to Gaza.
Fox's Jared Halpern on Wall Street. There is a big tech sell-off related to the cost of AI technology here compared to China because of a cheaper startup business there, leading the NASDAQ down more than 500 points. America's listening to Fox News.
Everywhere you look, things are getting more expensive. So at Consumer Cellular, we're lowering the price for those 50 and up. Now you can get unlimited talk, text, and data for $30 a line when you buy two. That's just $60 a month for two unlimited lines. So if you're 50 and up, make the switch and save. Come on, you've earned this. Call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com today. Requires two lines of service, age validation, and credit approval subject to system and area limits, taxes, and other fees apply.
Why pay more for prescriptions? Stop overpaying and start saving with SingleCare. It's easy. Find your prescription on SingleCare.com, show the coupon at the pharmacy, and start saving. SingleCare works at pharmacies nationwide and is completely free to use, whether you have insurance or not. So the next time you fill a prescription, check SingleCare to make sure you're getting the best price. Take control of your prescription costs. Go to SingleCare.com or download the free app today.
Ed Whitehead's Tire Pros have been serving Arizona for over 20 years. Dune season is here, so ask about specialty tires for your toys. We also do alignments, brakes, oil changes, AC work, inspections, preventive maintenance, and more. Get your tires at any of our 4 Ed Whitehead's Tire Pros locations. Or use the Tire Finder online at edwhiteheadstirepros.com. Choose the perfect tire and make your appointment today. We also have free pickup and drop-off for your hassle-free experience guaranteed. Ed Whitehead's Tire Pros. Yeah, we got tires for that.
Donut, 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 donut. Okay, so what are you thinking about right now? Donuts, right? That's the way radio works. Get News Talk 560 KBLU working for you. Use frequency to get top of mind awareness to get your unfair share of the business in your category. Call me, Tony D, today at 928-344-4980.
Wildlife around the globe needs help. And when you help protect them, you become a friend of the San Diego Zoo Wildlife Alliance. A real friend. The kind of friend you want to thank. And not just with a card or a text, but with a song.
Thank you for being a friend.
Travel down the road and back again.
Your heart is true. You're a pal and a confidant.
Thank you for being a friend. Thank you for being a friend. Thank you for being a friend.
From your friends at the San Diego Zoo Wildlife Alliance, thank you for helping protect wildlife around the globe. Without you, there's no them. Learn more at sdzwa.org/friend.
Thank you for being a friend.
Ready? Go! Doctor.
Operation.
No,
Hurry, time's almost up.
Okay, okay. The most amazing care. Oh, Belly.
Oh, I know. Shrine.
Time's up. Okay, our turn.
Ready, go.
They changed my life.
Highness Hospital for Children. Yay!
Because people just like you, kids like me, can play in the game of life.
I can do things now that were impossible before.
I can draw.
I can play basketball.
Thank you.
Gracias.
Thank you!
Go to loveshrines.org right away. Thank you!
The following program on 560 KBLU is a paid program. All opinions expressed by the program participants are solely their current opinions and do not reflect the opinions of 560 KBLU, El Dorado Broadcasters, LLC, their respective companies or affiliates, or the companies with which the program participants are affiliated and may have been previously disseminated by them. The program participants' opinions are based upon information they consider reliable, but neither 560 KBLU, El Dorado Broadcasters, nor its affiliates, nor the companies with which such participants are affiliated, warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such.
Welcome to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by the law firm of Deason, Garner, and Hanson, hosted by attorneys Sean Garner and Adam Hanson.
All righty, ladies.
Well, what are we talking about today?
So my name is Savannah Sotel. I'm the real estate broker for DGH Realty, our sister company to Deason, Garner, and Hanson. And
I'm Jaslyn Castro, and I'm a realtor for DGH Realty.
And we're going to be talking about the upcoming 2025 real estate market, including interest rates, what the market looks like, what the election did, what we anticipate it to continue to do.
Awesome. Sounds super
exciting.
Yeah, that's not the word that I had in mind, but we'll get into that. I know it's important. So the reason we have you ladies on is because we're at the start of this new year, new administration that I know Savannah is very excited about. She tells me about all the time. And so the question is, like, are prices going to come down in the market? Are interest rates going to come down? That's the hope, right? I asked you, I think, Jaslyn, last week, I asked if, like, how the market was doing. Is it time to buy yet, you know? And you, if I correct me if I'm wrong, but my understanding of what you told me was, no, it is still very high, and it might even go higher. And in fact, instead of lowering the interest rates for houses, they raised them. And you told me a story of, I think, of one of your family members, where it was some of you. Was it you, Savannah? But one of your family members recently bought a house, and it was like a $380,000 house, but yet the mortgage payments were over $2,000 because of the high interest rates. And they still had to come forward with like a ton of money, right?
To buy down the interest rate.
It was like 30 grand cash.
It was like $30,000 for down payment, and their mortgage was still like $2,300 a month. So, and the interest rates just went up, what, last week?
Yep.
Again? And the house prices just keep getting higher and higher.
That's the thing. So they're not going down. No. What do you think? What's going to happen? If you have a crystal ball.
So historically, the rates of the homes have always increased. Prior to COVID, the average was about 7%. After COVID, once it all dwindled down last year, it was still increasing about 4%. This year, we're anticipated to still increase about 3.7%. So not as drastic as during COVID, because clearly, Jaslyn, you saw the craziness with all of the market going, everything went up, everything skyrocketed. There's bidding wars during COVID. That was like a huge, so exclude that year because it's not the norm.
Yeah, I mean, we saw people getting, what, 2% interest rate on a home?
Yeah.
Just ridiculous.
And people were overbidding by like $20,000, $50,000 sometimes out of pocket.
It wasn't even appraising.
Yeah, it was ridiculous. So take that aside because clearly that's not going to happen again. But we're still going to see an increase in the home prices, about 3.7% for the year. You talked about how interest rates went up. Yes. After they announced President Trump's election that he had won, interest rates went up. Then last week, they went up again. So I did pull the numbers for you guys.
Prior to the inauguration, right?
Yes. Yes.
Why do you think that is? Politics or?
You know what? A lot of people say like the presidency has something to do with it. But in reality, all of this comes from the market that do with bonds.
Okay.
So right now, the Federal Reserve rate, I pulled it, it's about 4.25 to 4.5% with an average of 4.33% with good credit. This affects like your car loans, your credit cards, your personal loans. Then there's the prime rate. That's really high right now, 7.5%. This is for commercial loans as well as HELOCs. So the equity lines of credit people are getting on their homes. Then you have your mortgage rates. The average right now is 7%. And that is with over a 700 credit score.
I was going to say, it's like stellar credit.
Stellar right? credit.
Income.
Proof of income, like up the wazoo, you have to be like legit. And
as opposed to not legit.
Yeah, okay. as opposed to, you know.
Big difference.
Yeah, big difference. And they still anticipate, even if it slightly comes down by the end of 2025, it'll still be approximately 6.3% of what's expected.
Okay.
Best case scenario.
Best case scenario. Yeah.
Who's saying that?
So you can actually find stats all over. So National Association of Realtors, obviously it's all over nationwide. They produce reports for everyone. Consumers can go online and review these. Realtors.com is actually more for the consumer. And so I know people go on there to look for homes, but it's actually, you can actually pull tons of articles about what laws are going into place, how it's affecting the market and such. So those are all good sources to look up because they're legit sources that have economists on staff that pull all of these stats for you.
So I hear you just say that prices are high for purchasing a home or property. And now interest rates are really high too, yet you're still selling houses. People are still buying. Why? How is that possible?
Want me to take that?
You're flabbergasted.
Well, I mean, now they're saying for the market, you have to make an average of $100,000 just to live comfortably with a modest home and a decent interest rate. And I mean, that's not attainable. Most of the time, people don't make $100,000 a year. So I have no idea.
So the average right now, the average price for a Yuma County property. Now, Yuma County, so Welton, Somerton, San Luis, because all of the prices have gone up and all of before, you know, Welton, San Luis, Somerton was lower. Now they're comparable to being in town. The average price right now is $385K.
Okay.
Average single family residence, 3 to 4 bedroom. Okay. There's approximately a little over 400 homes currently active on the market in Yuma County. I know that they talk about a shortage nationwide of homes, but we have active listings on the market. They're sitting on the market for about 73 days-ish. That's the average days on market right now. I think that regardless of interest rates and regardless of the values of the homes, because homes will always increase. That's why we always say here at the law firm that your greatest investment is your real estate, right? You're always going to have a great return on that. However, if you're going to buy, you're going to buy. People are spending just as much to rent right now as they are to purchase a home and have a mortgage. We saw that with the huge inflation when it came to rentals. So regardless, people are going to buy no matter what. What can take place is they can buy now at a super high rate. Down the road, if and when interest rates ever come down, they could always refinance. But instead of refinancing to get cash out or anything, they can do a rate and term refinance. So it's basically all the same terms you previously had for the length of time and everything. You're just adjusting the rate, which will then bring down your mortgage.
Oh, absolutely.
So that's a great option. That's why we're not telling people don't buy. Buy if you need to buy. I'd rather invest my money in my own property as opposed to paying someone else's mortgage.
Okay.
And then later you can fix it.
Once the interest rates go down, refinance, you're saying?
Because
it's not a refinance, you're saying it's kind of just like a readjustment of terms?
Correct, yeah. So they call it a rate and term refinance, but in reality, it's just adjusting your interest rate.
Do you have to pay money for that? Just like you would with a refinance, usually you have to pay...
The closing costs, yeah.
Yeah.
So there's still a closing cost. It's just not a huge... As opposed, like, let's say I was doing a cash out refinance, then the cash out refinance entails a lot more. So therefore, usually the closing cost is a little higher. So clearly they have to appraise your home to make sure your home appraises. Not a big deal. Values go up every year. So unless you were one of those that put, you know, $50,000 down during the bidding wars, and maybe it won't appraise when you want to do something later because you put so much money into it, it's not worth what you're trying to ask. But for the rest of us that, you know, that did not go into bidding wars, no problem. Like, you can always do that later.
So, Jaslyn, if you had a pocket of money, a little bit of money to put down towards a house, would you buy in this market right now?
Well, like Savannah said, I mean, there's always hopes that the interest rates will go down eventually and then you can refinance. But the renting is just ridiculous right now. I saw just the other day a 3-bedroom home, 2-bathroom, didn't have a pool, just a 2-car garage, nothing crazy, for $2,600 a month renting. It's like, wow. Yeah, like Savannah said, might as well just get a house and invest into your own real estate instead of paying somebody else's investment, because $2,600 for a 3-bedroom house is crazy. Yeah, and it wasn't anything, you know, too
even fancy. Apartments right now, even you're looking at $1,600 and up for apartments. It's like, who's affording these? If you can afford an apartment, might as well pay your mortgage. Yeah. I understand that not everyone's in the best credit situation, but do what you got to do to work with a lender. Lenders help you nonstop fix your credit because they want your business, right? They want to help you out. So work with the lender, get your credit fixed, and purchase.
Are you seeing these just in the rental market as a whole, or are you seeing them on Airbnb? We meet with a lot of clients that have Airbnbs, like they have rental properties, but they're using VRBO or Airbnb to like rent those out, and they're doing really well. Like they make a lot of money, and it's constant. Like I was really surprised. This is years ago when I had a client that's like, oh no, we use Airbnb to rent this out as opposed to just renting it, the property, you know, like a typical rental. And my concern was like, oh, okay, it fluctuates. Like maybe you'll have a good week or a good day this month, but they said no. They're constantly full, constant demand, and they're making hand over fist. Have you seen that?
The short-term rentals are actually better than long-term rentals, mainly because, well, it depends on your area. Yuma specifically, we get tons of agriculture workers. We get tons of traveling medical people like doctors, nurses, and such. And we also get lots of border patrol or military that come in, right? So because of that, there's a constant need for rentals, no matter what. And especially for the traveling, anyone in the medical field, they're looking for short term. They're not here to do a year lease. Agriculture as well, they're only here like 4 or 5 months and then they leave and come back. So they're looking for short term leases. So here in the Yuma market, yes, short term rentals
are successful.
Are successful, yeah.
That might be a good strategy for somebody that wants to build wealth. If they can pick up a little house, like
there's that website that rents out temporarily, right? It's not Airbnb or it's not VRBO. What is that website for like medical workers who search for temporary rentals?
Well, here in Yuma, OnVita, previously YRMC. So OnVita, actually their HR department has a list. People can go to them if you have a rental, and they actually have a list that they provide to their traveling people to say, hey, these are available rentals if you're not on Airbnb or Vrbo. Like,
so, you say Vrbo?
Yeah. Isn't it Vrbo?
I say VRBO.
VRBO. There's no E, so I'm scared it's wrong.
Vrbo. I don't know what's right.
But I think the Airbnb prices are pretty high. And their fees are... That's why I feel like that's why they make so much money. It's so many fees. Like
the cleaning fees, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It'll like advertise for $180 per night, you know, just hypothetically. Yeah. And then you go to check out and it's like $250 cleaning fee. $200, I don't know, some random fees.
It's ridiculous.
Like, you're paying somebody to clean for one day $200? Like,
yeah,
how much do you think I'm going to do in a day?
So, I know, right? So we found that out traveling a few years ago, my wife and I, because we would do like VRBOs or Airbnbs. And by the time we got done with those, we were spending way more than we would spend at just a really nice hotel. And they clean up after me. So from then on, we're just like, let's look at hotels first and see if we can't get a good deal on that. Then second, maybe an Airbnb or VRBO, because ultimately I didn't want to clean up after myself.
And they leave you like instructions. We stayed at a donut.
Stressed, right? You're like, oh crap, did we get the checklist done?
They literally put on there, do not eat very pungent foods. If the smell is strong, like we're gonna charge you extra. I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't eat Indian food or like some of these foods, you know, because they're gonna charge me extra if the room stinks, apparently.
Like, don't flush. I'm like, what? What am I supposed to do?
Yeah, their rules. They look like
three squares of toilet paper. Like, oh my gosh. And then so that makes me feel like, oh, they've got cameras on me like all the time. Where are these cameras? Like, I know they're watching
me. They're going to know you ate something. So my husband like took our food out to like the dumpster down the road so they wouldn't know what we ate.
Oh my gosh. So then you just sit there and you're so uncomfortable because I'm just like, I can't move. I just sit here in my Airbnb because they're watching me.
That's horrible. Like, don't spill anything on the, you know, bed sheets, but at a hotel, like you said, they're going to clean up after you regardless. They're not going to charge you extra, you know. God forbid a towel goes missing, but.
Heck yeah, man. Exactly.
$300 deposit gone.
You stole a towel.
In the real estate market, we know that, so for like talking about the fees, the cleaning fees, right? It makes me wonder, are they going in and cleaning it themselves or are they actually hiring a professional? So for instance, for a deep clean of a single family residence here in Yuma County, you're paying about $265 or $365 for one time deep clean.
Okay.
So if they're hiring a professional, that makes sense. But if they're coming in and cleaning it themselves and still charging for the professional rate, that's what I've seen. I've been to Airbnbs in different like Texas or California and stuff. And I know that I'm speaking to the owner via the messaging and they're like, okay, yeah, we'll be there right after you check out. And they've came, I've seen them as I'm driving away. They're personally coming in.
Mm-hmm.
That's clearly not a professional. It's you just coming in and cleaning the house, right?
Especially if they're charging you a $200 fee, but it's like just a room and a bathroom. Because a lot of these Airbnbs is like an extra guest house that they have on their property, you know? So it's not even a full family home. There's no kitchen. So what are you charging $200 to clean? Yeah.
So I hear you just say we need to get into this business.
Yes.
Airbnb. Get an Airbnb.
That's what I hear you saying.
And I'll clean it for you for $300.
Charge $250, I'll clean it for $100.
Mm-hmm. What else you got on your notes? Savannah came prepared today.
Oh, yes.
She was like, I am ready to talk politics and just...
I didn't know we were talking politics.
Just school you, Adam.
Yes. So obviously, Trump came out with the emergency price relief, right? So he's trying
obviously.
To put in an executive...
Everybody knows that.
It was huge during his campaign. He was saying that we need to get out of this rut. You know, we need to bring the housing market back because of the shortage. We need to bring the pricing down, the interest rates down. We need to do all of these different things, mainly because the cost of living is just ridiculous right now. So real estate wise, I didn't put all the key points in regards to the emergency price relief solely in regards to real estate. So what he wants to do, lower the cost of housing.
Yeah.
He wants to expand our housing supply. He wants to lower the interest rates and help support the cost of living. Okay. So I wanted to talk about those key points and how this would take place, how it would play out.
Coming up, more thought-provoking conversations on life, death, and the law right after this.
Final week of January shows a pretty nice week of weather shaping up with sunshine and 65 today, 39 the overnight low tonight. Sunny and 64 on Tuesday, 41 Tuesday night, 66 and sunny on Wednesday. 10-mile-per-hour winds each day.
Hey, everyone. It's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for less. And for a limited time, new customers receive their second month free when they sign up and use promo code SECONDFREE by January 26th. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Taxes, fees, and other third-party charges will apply. See website for additional details.
Eldorado Broadcasters and this station congratulate the newest Yuma County Chamber of Commerce members.
O-Aesthetics, LLC. American Legion Riders Post 19. C&L Cleaning Services, LLC. Uniforms SE. Yuma Gymnastics. And AE System Services, LLC.
If you'd like to find out how you can become a member and join all the benefits membership brings, email Diana at yumachamber.org. That's Diana at yumachamber.org. Or call 928-782-2566.
What is your healing power? Maybe your healing power is helping veterans with PTSD, traumatic brain injuries, depression, anxiety, or loneliness. Is your healing power a simple, heartfelt letter or being a volunteer? It is estimated that over 500,000 current warfighters will return from service diagnosed with PTSD, and 22 veterans will commit suicide every day. Our veterans have paid the ultimate sacrifice for our country. At HealVets.org, you can find out more about the healing power of pen pals, volunteers, therapy kits, and more. Discover your healing power at HealVets.org. Help Heal Veterans, together with you, has been helping one recovering veteran at a time. We are helping veterans heal together. What is your healing power? To find out about your power, visit HealVets.org. This PSA is sponsored by Help Heal Veterans.
Neil Armstrong waited 6 hours and 39 minutes to step onto the surface of the moon. And even DiCaprio had to wait 22 years to win an Oscar. You can wait until your destination. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
You're listening to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by Deason, Garner, and Hanson, the law firm that has been voted Yuma's best 6 years in a row.
So during the campaign, he was talking about all these things. Then he put in the new executive order. But in reality, again, what drives the interest rate isn't the president and his executive orders. It's not even our congressman. It all has to do with the bonds market.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of people say, oh, let's do something to bring down their interest rates. They don't have a direct hand in that. But he does have a direct hand in other items. So I did want to go over those items to say, well, what can he do? So, for instance, during COVID, everything went up, skyrocketed pricing for everything, lumber, glass, framing, everything, right? So homes drastically jumped up in value, specifically new builds, because they couldn't get the material. Two was the cost of labor went up. Three, the materials went up, right? So what can he do for that? He can do something there. So he could address, there's actually a lot of fees that go into building new builds for the new build constructions. And so what happens is there's these regulations that they have to pay all this additional funds aside from all the materials. And in the stats, it says it's on average nationwide, on average, about an additional $90,000 in regulatory fees that they pay per house. $90,000.
So who are those going to? Do you know off the top of your head?
Not who specifically. It is a regulation that goes to, it said state, local, and federal. So I don't know how they break that up specifically. But those are government-type fees. That is something he could get a control over, right? He could actually cut back the regulations for the home builders, which will then also bring down the values.
Absolutely.
That's a thing he could do.
You should write him.
I'm going to write a letter.
Dear Santa, I mean, Mr. President.
Then he also talked about federal land, because there's such a shortage nationwide in regards to new construction, because there's not enough land to build on. Well, actually, the United States owns 47% of the land that's vacant. So 47% is federal land. He could open up the federal land to new construction. That is something that could take place.
Sorry to interrupt you. Have you seen the lawsuit between Utah and the federal government?
No.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they are not happy. And so basically what they're saying is that you guys own all this federal land. Like, give it back. That's our land. And you guys aren't doing anything with it. We could develop that. We could, and they, because Utah has so much land, and I would venture to guess that's how all of us are. You drive from here to Phoenix, and in between, you've got a lot of vacant land. Mm-hmm. A lot of that's federal land, and it's just sitting there, right? And if I go on that land and I start a campfire or something like that, I'll probably be cited by the fish and game or something like that. And it's like, okay, you got so much land, and I can't start a fire right here?
And I can't start a fire.
Starting fires in Hollywood. Why can't I start one here?
Oh, no.
Is that too soon?
Okay. About a week soon.
That's a good starting point then. So if Utah is putting that into place, I foresee other states to start jumping on board.
I think other states joined them. I haven't looked too deep into it, but I know prior to the inauguration that they had already, they've started the process. The attorney general there in Utah was like, what's going on here? Mm-hmm. We want our land. Yeah. You just took it from us. So fuera.
But that would be like an amazing thing to do. Release the federal land. If you don't have any proposed, you know, whatever you want it to do with that land, it's just sitting. Clearly tons is sitting and has been sitting for years and years. Release it. Sell it. I mean, we're trillions of dollars in debt. Sell it. Get some money.
Absolutely. From a legal standpoint, I mean, that's the basic law of property.
Yeah.
It goes back to English law. But if you don't use your land, you lose your land. You need to make good use of that land. And that's why you ladies are familiar with this, the adverse possession, or people call it squatter's rights.
Yep.
Yeah. So you've got different elements of that particular statute here in Arizona, and every state has it, where you can squat on the land and you got to meet some criteria for a period of time. But ultimately, if you meet all that criteria, then you can do a quiet title action in your superior court and then transfer that property deed to yourself. It's hard to do. Like, it sounds great, but it's hard to do. But that is all derived from, because you think, well, that's stealing, like you're stealing land. But in actuality, it's because the basis of real estate property law in the United States is founded on a principle that if you don't use your land and make it better and make it worth something, then you don't deserve to have it. Somebody else can come in and get that land. So like it or don't, but that's the way that it's structured. Yeah. And so that's a good argument from Utah or any of these other states that are joining suit to say to the federal government, you've been sitting on this land and it's actually within our boundaries and our purview. And number one, number two, you haven't been making good use of it. We're going to take over. Thanks. It's ours.
Thank you. Bye.
Imagine I buy a title against the government. Yeah.
Come and take it. That's what you say.
Go pop a squat.
Pop a squat. Super classy. Yeah. Super classy. So, Ms. Castro, how long have you been a realtor? Or, sorry, realtor. Did I say it properly?
Still wrong.
How do you say
realtor.
It?
Realtor.
Realtor.
Real. Yeah. 4 years now? Yeah.
Wow. Time flies.
It when does you're when fun. You're having fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And was it the best thing you ever decided to do?
Yeah. I mean, I don't devote myself to it full time. Law firm is my full time. I really just work with sellers most of the time. It's fun. It's challenging, but it's fun.
Was it a hard process to become a realtor? Realtor?
I mean, I don't think it's impossible process. No, it was for me, but that's just because of different circumstances. Not impossible, but it was harder. Yeah, it was more difficult, but I don't think it was too unattainable. I also did it during COVID, so they didn't offer in-person classes. So I personally just learn better when somebody's talking to me directly or an in-person class. So it's a little bit harder to do it online, but I mean, in-person classes are back now, so that's great. I think for people who just would rather be there in person asking questions on something that you don't understand, because obviously watching a video and them just talking and talking, you kind of forget the question that you had and you're still trying to catch up to what they're talking about. So but I think in person definitely would be the way to go.
I have a lot of friends, and I know you hear this all the time as realtors, but you'll often hear like, I don't need you. I'd rather you just get out of my way and I'll deal directly with the seller or with the buyer, right? Why do we need a middleman to come in and I pay you to walk through the house and, oh, that's a sink, that's a bathroom that has a shower. Yeah, I can see that. Thank you. Do I need to pay you a commission to walk me through this house? Tell me, do I need Ms. Castro in the middle of my transaction?
Absolutely. I mean, as a buyer, first of all, you need somebody to be able to look for what you want. Like you said, we need somebody to navigate through the MLS. Realtor.com is not always reflecting accurately as to what is active, what is not active, what's under contract, what's not. And
what's the MLS?
MLS is the paragon where realtors actually submit everything to other licensed realtors. So on there is like active day-to-day updates.
And the public doesn't have access to that?
Nope. You have to be working with a realtor to get those direct updates. And then, like I said, realtor and Zillow.com, they take, 2 weeks to catch up to what is actually reflected, you know, whether it's available, whether it's not available, whether the price dropped or it didn't. And there's a lot of confidential information that's on the MLS regarding, you know, how to get into the house, what is going on with whether there's a solar lease or it's owned. A lot of that information about the house that is confidential. And then once you're in the process of buying the home, of course, we have, you know, well, what does the market look like? And should I be paying this amount for this home? So it's a lot of, even though you're a buyer, as a realtor, we still run comparables. You know, what has sold in this neighborhood? Is it actually worth what they're asking for? Or should we offer less because of what's currently active or has gone under contract? So, and then once you're under contract, of course, we have a lot of professional connections with home inspectors. We know what home inspectors we want to inspect the home because of, you know, previous inspections that they've done. Is it worth it to work with a certain home inspector? Reading the home inspection. What is worth us asking for to get repaired or looked at again? And then, of course, negotiating all of that with the other realtor directly without, you know, any feelings getting hurt of a person saying, you know, well, you think my house isn't good enough or no, these are actual facts. You know, there's something wrong with the roof. I need this fixed or my loan isn't going to go through. So you need a realtor to be able to read that home inspection and tell you what you should be asking for to get fixed.
Have there been any, I don't know, feel good moments as you go through transactions that come to mind?
Oh, of course. I mean, seeing people buy their first home, you know, their excitement, their anticipation of it, it's just it's a great feeling. And then, of course, the feeling of selling their home and getting what they asked for and all of that, you know, having a good transaction where they were less stressed, where they were less anxious about it, and you made their life easier, and then mm-hmm. it's a done deal and you sold their home for them.
So what I hear you to say is that realtors' fees are justified.
Absolutely. I mean, there could be a million things that go wrong with the transaction, but with the supervision of a realtor, and of course a professional realtor, can definitely make a difference and, like you said, make it a good feel moment. So
Savannah, what would I expect if I'm going to buy a house for mm-hmm. fees to a realtor?
So for instance, there is a new settlement that took place August of last year. It was a huge settlement with the National Association of Realtors, mainly because of compensation towards yeah. agents. A huge lawsuit arose because of the 6%. I say in quotation 6% because in reality, it's never a set amount. It's always been negotiable. I want to start by saying that. It's always been negotiable. However, a huge lawsuit took place and NAR settled. So in that settlement, it kicked in a whole lot of new rules and regulations specifically towards buying agents. Now, a buying agent is required to, you're always required to sign saying you're going to hire your agent, right? Yeah. This is your agent and they work for this brokerage. No problem. Now, they're also required to say, I am going to pay my buying agent such and such amount, whether it's a flat fee, whether it's a percentage of whatever the purchase price is. They got to come in and acknowledge that if the seller doesn't agree to pay this, they're coming in out of pocket for this. So as a buyer, what kind of cost do you have? You have the buyers always pay their appraisal costs. Buyers always pay the home inspection fees. Usually they pay their own closing costs unless they negotiate that in the deal and ask the seller to pay part of it or all of it. They have their down payment. Then, thanks to high interest rates, they usually pay a whole bunch of money to buy down points to get a better rate. And now on top of that, if the seller doesn't agree to pay for the buying agent's compensation, now they're on top of that paying that as well. So those are a bunch of fees that they have to come in by a close of escrow. These are a bunch of fees that they have to prove to their lender that they qualify for this loan because they have enough in their bank account for the past 6 months to say, here's where I sourced all my funds and this is why I have enough to even put that amount down. So it's a huge cost now. Before, it was, and it can still be this way in some scenarios, seller would agree when they sell, an agent takes a listing, seller agrees to pay such and such compensation. Let's say the fee was 6%, and of the 6%, 3% would go, let's say, to selling agent, 3% would go to the buying agent, and you would put that on the MLS. So when buying agents are looking for homes for their clients, they can see, oh, yeah, this is what I would get compensated. Now they remove that. You can't put any type of compensation, verbiage, hidden message. I've seen, you know, like we've seen people try to get creative where they're putting it in the confidential addendum in a weird way, you know, but you can get fined for that. So you can't put any type of compensation in there whatsoever. And now it's up to the buying agent to try to negotiate that into the deal with the seller. Is the seller willing to pay part or all of the buying agent's compensation? So that's new. Mm-hmm. And that took place. And I've already seen California is already trying to fight it because what happened is a lot of agents started to remove themselves saying, well, I no longer want to be part of MLS. Mm-hmm. There's no point in me having MLS if I'm not going to see what's in it for my client, what's in it for me, and they started dipping out. Well, they lost so many people that they brought it up now. It's in a lawsuit now, trying to get everything back to the way it was prior to this settlement. So again, kind of like the Utah property thing, California is suing. I'm pretty sure other states are going to start jump on board as well, try to get things back to normal. Because in the end of the day, if I'm going to list my property, obviously I'm going to pay my agent. But I also want people to come show my home. I want other agents to bring their buyers. I'll compensate them for that. I understand. I've bought homes before. I understand how much a buyer has to put in when they're buying a house. It's a, you know, a huge difference what the buyer puts in compared to what's coming out of the seller side. So I'm willing to pay a buying agent. In most cases, even now, most listings we get, I would say, right, Jasmine, they're agreeing like, you know what, I'm still going to compensate the buying agent.
Yeah, because, and that's our recommendation, yeah. Because as a buyer, I wouldn't want my buyer's agent to be more concerned with, is this property going to pay me money? I want them to be concerned about, is this a good buy for my buyer, mm-hmm. you know? And And what if they, you know, find out that they're not paying the buyer's agent? What's going to happen is that this buyer's agent might not want to show this property because they know that their buyer can't afford it. So mm-hmm. now their buyer is like, you know, they might have lost out on a great home that might have been for them mm-hmm. just because the seller agent doesn't want to pay it. So we still, I don't know about you, Savannah, but I still personally recommend you have to pay the buyer's agent. Mm-hmm. This house will sit. It's not going to be shown if you're not paying the buyer's agent, because that's just the fair way to do it. That's the way it's always been done. Just like you're paying me to sell this house, it's a relationship. You know, I depend on the buyer's agent to be mm-hmm. able to sell this house. And then what we're going to see a lot too is that buyers aren't going to get buyer's agents anymore. They're just going to try to work with the seller's agent directly. And what's going to happen is the seller's agent's going to end up doing double the work for mm-hmm. only half of the pay just to get this house sold.
Coming up, more thought-provoking conversations on life, death, and the law right after this.
Hey you, my Dave Ramsey here. If you listen to our show or know anything about us, then you know I only recommend products and services I trust and I believe in. That's why when it comes to protecting your assets and planning for your loved one's future, you've got to call my friends Sean Garner and Adam Hansen at the law firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen. I encourage you to take the first step and attend a free, no-pressure seminar and learn all of your options. The firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen has been educating the Yuma community for over 40 years, and this is the only area of law that they practice. Sean and Adam believe in giving free education to help people make smart decisions about their assets and help them leave a legacy for their family that they can be proud of. Schedule a free personal consultation today. Call 783-4575 or visit YumaEstatePlanning.com.
Truckmates, Yuma's Fix Up Your Pickup Truck Store is Yuma's home for Snugtop shells and lids. Snugtop, designed and manufactured to the highest standard. Industry-leading quality and trend-setting design to protect and complement your vehicle. That's Snugtop. Truckmates is also the home of expert spray and bed liners, spraying mil-spec protective coatings, committed to unwavering excellence and unparalleled customer service. Expert liners, with available national warranty coverage and installed by Yuma's most experienced spray-on team at Truckmates. Truckmates is also the home for BDS suspensions, the highest quality aftermarket suspension lift kits, leveling kits, and accessories for 4x4 off-road trucks and Jeep enthusiasts. And don't forget 3M window tinting, the originators of window tinting with nationwide lifetime warranty at Truckmates. That's expert spray and bed liners, BDS suspensions, 3M window tinting, and Snug Top, all at Truckmates. 32nd Street, next to Lowe's.
The impact of a meal goes well beyond feeding our bodies. Because when people don't have to worry about where their next meal is coming from, they can truly thrive. Like Marta.
And now we'll hear from our class valedictorian, who with our hard work never ceases to amaze us. Please welcome Marta Moreno.
And Alex.
Hey, Alex. How did the interview go?
I did it! I got the job! I can't believe it!
I knew it. Let's meet up later to celebrate.
And Diego.
Mom! I got first place at the science fair with my volcano project!
That's amazing, sweetie. Congratulations!
Because when people are fed, futures are nourished, and everyone deserves to live a full life. Join the movement to end hunger at feedingamerica.org/act now. feedingamerica.org/act now. A public service announcement brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
If you're the owner and or operator of a local business and want to continue to hear the right talk, please consider advertising on KBLU. Your advertising dollars are the gasoline for the Clark, Kilmeade, Bongino, Hannity, Beck engine. Without your support, the old 560 just won't roll. Reach out to like-minded folks, the patriots listening to this legendary radio station. When you do, you can invite new customers in and remind regulars to visit more often. And most importantly, keep the programming you love on 560 KBLU.
You're listening to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by Deason, Garner, and Hansen, the law firm that has been voted Yuma's best 6 years in a row.
So then, you know, you have limited representation with two people, and it's just, it's not a good idea. I don't think
it's not a win-win for everyone. It's So I do the same thing you do. I highly recommend. It's optional. You can pay the buying agent. I highly recommend it, and I explain why. And I go into even explaining, this is what, as a seller, you'll see. Sellers have their own closing costs. Sellers may have to pay for repairs. I always anticipate. Let's throw in, when I'm giving them their net calculations on what they would see for proceeds, like, let's throw in some repairs here. Let's throw in, if they have a septic, they have to, you know, pump and inspect it. Let's throw in, you know, I throw things in worst case scenario so they see their end result. And then I tell them, okay, again, I highly recommend paying the buyer's agent. And they usually do. I haven't had any issues here in Yuma at all. I know it's more in other states, but maybe other agents have seen issues just because of people reading the news and not understanding it completely. But as long as you're a competent agent and understand the laws and the regulations and what's required, then you're golden. You can explain that in every, you know, in regular terms as opposed to legal jargon, then you're great. And most sellers are like, yeah, we'll do that. I don't want my house to sit. That's why I'm selling it. I need to get it off the market. Speaking of, you know, legal terms and such, Decent Garner and Hanson, obviously you guys have been around for a very long time. And I just wanted to bring up DGH Realty and how that came about.
Yeah.
Go for it. So if you want to talk about that, Adam. So
you can talk about whatever you want.
So DGH Realty, our agents are consisting of attorneys and paralegals here at the firm.
No, that's right. I'm a realtor.
Yep. Yeah, so you and Sean are, myself and Jasmine are, our other agents are all paralegals here at the firm. That's a huge difference compared to, you were asking Jasmine, was it difficult to get your license? In her case, there was just some situations going on that took a bit to get into, you know, learning online only and such. But in reality, it's not really hard. What do you need to get your license? Do 90 hours of coursework, pass your final TATIC estate exam. Not a big deal, especially if you can memorize a lot of the things. Great. Not a big deal.
It's mostly real estate law.
Yeah.
A little bit of contract law.
Very little. 6 hours of contract law.
Yeah. I mean, the things that they go over in those 90 hours, you rarely use, if ever.
Yeah.
You
know? I don't need to know my meets and bounds. Like, you know. But
forgot about that.
So things like that are taught in the real estate courses, whether online or in person, because it's required to pass the state exam. Now, everyday use, what's more, what are you going to be doing? Contracts. What's a contract? A legal binding document. So do agents have legal backgrounds? No, they're not teaching you the laws. They're teaching you different items in the real estate game that you really don't use. So I think that's what sets us aside a lot from other agencies, other brokerages, is we handle legal aspects on a daily basis. We understand legal binding contracts. We prepare legal binding contracts on a daily basis to where when we read a real estate contract, we're reading it line for line and understand the legality of it. And that is what benefits our clients, both sellers and buyers, because we're understanding and we're explaining it to them and how it'll affect them, not just in the real estate aspect, but legally. What would the outcome be of this? If you did this, what would happen? What would your legal rights be for this scenario? Whereas other agents may just be giving their personal experience they've had on previous transactions that may or may not be correct.
Mm-hmm.
And we see it often. A lot of things that when we get contracts, we're like, why did they put that in there? Or they're calling us, telling us something. We're like, what are you talking about? That's not legally correct.
Or so, I mean, all the time we get calls from title companies that are like, hey, there's a cloud on this title, or it's not clean title. We need to do, you know, we are able to go into the assessor's office and recorder's office and track all of that down and make sure that we can sell this house and it won't get stopped at, you know, close of escrow and have a 60-day extension because they have to do it now. You know, we know that before we even go into it. Are they the titled owner? What do we have to do to be able to have the mobile home affixed and all of these different areas?
I think that was an unintended benefit that we didn't foresee. So when we kind of went down this path of becoming our own real estate brokers, it was kind of because we were in the process of selling property for a lot of our clients that were involved in like a probate or a trust administration where a loved one passes away. They're in charge of things. They don't want to deal with the property here in Yuma most of the time or in Arizona at all. And so they would employ our services to sell a property. And prior to us being licensed as realtors and as our own brokerage, we could do that, but it was kind of like gray area. in Arizona, you have to be a licensed realtor to sell a property for gain. And we weren't at the time, but however, there's an exception to that rule. If you're a licensed attorney, you can. And so we were operating under that, but we were selling a lot of properties and we just didn't feel right about, I don't know about feeling right, but it was just like, we might as well just become our own brokerage and cut out the middlemen over here going to these brokerages or these agents and just get it done ourselves, because we found that oftentimes if we didn't do it ourselves, it wasn't getting done right, or it would delay the process. So we went down that road. And I think that was an unintended benefit that happened, was once we got licensed, we did our own brokerage. Then we started to see a lot of title companies starting to call us and saying, hey, there's an issue with this property, fix it. And we're like, okay, we can do that. Or we would enter transactions and find out there's a cloud on the title, or we needed to fix that. Mm-hmm. And that's no problem. We do that all the time anyway, as part of what we do. So it was a great ancillary addition to our services that we offer here in the firm. And you became our broker, Savannah, and that was awesome. Talk about that. How was that? Was that daunting for you? You'd been in the business for quite a while. You have to have a certain amount of years in order to then sit for the broker test, which is a different test. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so there's a lot that went into that.
Yes. So originally, you have to have your so many hours, you have to be full time, you have to have so many years and experience, and you have to have your previous brokers that you've worked for sign off acknowledging the amount of hours you've worked and so forth. So I've been in the business for 8 years now, 8 years. And so when I came on board here at the law firm, I was already a real estate agent, and I had been in the business then 3 years.
Three.
Yeah. So I had to wait an extra year to get my 4 years in, have all of my brokers sign off, and then go through and do an additional training for brokerage and brokerage management. So that was very similar to the real estate aspect, which is additional steps and what's required of the brokerage and what is required to keep track and record, because there's audits that take place. So it included a lot of the auditing. It included a lot of what happens when you have rentals versus sales and such on the back end.
Yeah.
Which was not a big deal either. Mainly being here at the law firm, since I manage the law firm as well, I do a lot of back end stuff anyways. And then we handle all the legal stuff, so I was already aware of all the legal terms and everything like that. So that wasn't a big deal to take those courses. It was just getting the hours in, really, since we were already familiar with the way it ran, since we were already managing everything to begin with.
Remember when we first got licensed and we tried to use this like online broker?
Yes.
That was a nightmare.
Yes. And she was asking for all kinds of weird stuff that I said, wait, why? That's not even a legal requirement. Why are you asking for this? They had their own forms they want us to fill out with other items. And she's like, well, you've been in the business and been sued this many times, and you'll know. No. And we're like, oh, okay, this is our time to get out.
That's her opening sign. Line.
And yeah, that was the experience that kind of pushes towards Savannah. You got like 6 months and you're going to be our broker.
Yes. And we're like, all right, let's go.
Taking the test. Because it's like, dude, that was interesting. They were up in Flagstaff or something. Yeah. Like they had multiple, they're multi-state.
They're multi-state. So mm-hmm.
It was just interesting. Yeah. I remember those days. I was going to ask about our firm and the way that we do business. So if a person wants to buy a property or they want to sell their property, should they expect to pay more because they're using a law firm to do it? Well, you're using our brokerage as our real estate arm. Do you pay more fees because we're lawyers?
Not at all. It's the same fees that you would if you got, Joe Schmo off the street or my cousin's uncle's. Yeah, my cousin's your uncle's T.O. friend is an agent. I'll use him. Cause that's what happens often, right? Oh, I know someone. Okay, you know someone, but are they experienced? Do you understand the law? Do they understand the contracts? Are they actually going to assist you? Jasmine spoke about running comparables for buyers as well. Yeah. Most agents don't. They're like, you want to put an offer? How much? Yeah, I've seen it.
What?
How much do you want to place an offer for? No, as a licensed agent, you should be helping your client and running those comparables to see if the seller even listed it at the appropriate price. So we see it often, and you're not paying anything additional because we're paralegals or attorneys. It's all the same, and you're just getting a better experience and a more in-depth, I would say, experience compared to just, you know, my cousin's best friend's baby mama.
There's nothing worse. There's nothing worse than going through a transaction and finding out that, oh man, I got something that has a can of worms attached to it. And that can often happen, right, with real estate.
Yeah.
If there's an easement that wasn't caught or wasn't disclosed, that could be a nightmare. It's not so easy to get rid of an easement or to get rid of a cloud on the title. And most buyers don't know that. And most sellers don't know that. So I think it's advantageous to have somebody that can look at the actual deed, chain of title, and identify these are some issues that we actually need to bring up right now. And that might allow us to negotiate here. You know, hey, did you know there was an easement since 1960 on this property? No, I didn't know that. Well, let's ask for less because it's your lucky day.
Yeah.
Right. So you can, it helps us negotiate a little bit better for our clients, I would imagine.
If you have questions or want to know more about something that was discussed today, please call the law firm of Deason, Garner & Hanson at 928-783-4575 or visit YumaEstatePlanning.com.
Want to hear more Life, Death, and the Law? You can find it on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and YouTube, or any other platform you listen to your podcasts.
Do you hear this? Every parent needs a break, right? Hi, I'm Wes McDowell with the Wes McDowell Insurance Agency. If rising insurance rates are keeping you from having date nights, then call our office at 928-305-1607 for a free and hassle-free quote. That's 305-1607. Let us see if we can save you money so you can have a night away from all of those loud kids. Good luck with that.
I always tell people I was the luckiest guy in the world. I wanted to be an army man or a fireman, and I got to do both. As a firefighter, my job was about saving lives. I never thought one day I would be fighting for mine.
After spending his career answering the call to save others, Ken was diagnosed with ALS. Now he's facing his biggest battle, for more time. For 70 years, Muscular Dystrophy Association has been answering the call to help people live longer and more independent lives.
MDA means to me hope.
MDA is leading the way for people living with ALS, muscular dystrophy, and other neuromuscular diseases by accelerating research, advancing care, and advocating to empower families like Ken's.
I wouldn't be living as good of a life with ALS if it wasn't for MDA. MDA is helping people live stronger and love longer. Learn more at MDA.org today.
You know your business needs to get in the digital game, marketing on the internet, and maybe finally fixing your website. Don't let the world pass you by. Go to YumaAdvertising.com. That's YumaAdvertising.com. They're part of the Desert Southwest's largest media company, and their team has executed thousands of digital marketing campaigns across the country. Digital campaigns for businesses just like yours. Who knew they needed to get in the game? YumaAdvertising.com. That's YumaAdvertising.com. Don't let the world pass you by.
Are you looking for more in this world? Are you ready for something bigger? Then we are looking for you. The big-hearted, the bold, the messy and the gutsy. The teachers, the growers, the builders. The skilled, the sharers, the change makers. We need you. We are the Peace Corps. In more than 60 countries, we go all in and all out. We are volunteers, partners, communities, working together, living together, bringing our experience, passion, and joy to building a better world together. From tackling climate change in Mexico to keeping kids healthy in Kenya, from sustainable farming in the Philippines to education in Kosovo, we learn more, give more, share freely, and serve boldly. Are you ready to tackle the tough stuff, to go the distance to make a difference? Then we have a place where you belong. Join us at peacecorps.gov.
The preceding show on 560 KBLU was a paid program. All opinions expressed by the program participants are solely their current opinions and do not reflect the opinions of 560 KBLU, Eldorado Broadcasters LLC, their respective parent companies or affiliates, or the companies with which the program participants are affiliated and may have been previously disseminated by them. The program participants' opinions are based upon information they consider reliable, but neither 560 KBLU, El Dorado Broadcasters LLC, nor its affiliates, nor the companies with which such participants are affiliated, warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such.
This is News Talk 560 KBLU, Yuma.